That's okay. That's okay. We're going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, so it's okay. So, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that one either, so. I'm drawing on my memories from when I got saved in a Baptist church back in the 80s. So those are the songs I know, so. And I don't read music either. But you can go ahead and sit down if you want to. Yeah, it's okay. So, I always like to bring some goodies. Put it here. I love these bowls. You know, they have all the colors and all the sizes, and it's so perfectly together. It just reminds me of family. My mother had a set like this, you know, and then my grandmother had a set like this. And then I got these in an antique store because they remind me of my family. You know, how many of you have this set? Everybody? Or you've had it in the past?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all kind of had them. I like them. So these three are from the 30s. This one's from the 50s. I had to match it together. But I wanted to show that for a reason because of the order that they show. I want to talk about, if I could title this, you know, the Lord open our eyes. We want to see Jesus, you know. Open our, we know that song. Open our ears. We want to hear him. We draw close to him. But, you know, we think about how big God is. And I am blown away how big he is. And you just see how big he is when you look at creation. So I want to just take a minute and think about the sun. This humongous gas ball in the sky that produces light and warmth for us. It's in the right location. I mean, God knew what he was doing when he made all this, you know. He didn't make it too small or too big. If it was a little bit closer to us, I think like a mile closer, we all burn to death. If it was a mile away from the earth, we would all freeze to death. So it's just perfect order the way God created everything. And sometimes when we look at science, or science looks at things and all the stuff they are, think they're experts at, they get it wrong, don't they? You know, they think when you leave God out of the equation, it can kind of fall apart because it doesn't quite fit. It's kind of like if you want to take science here, you have all our, it's practical, we can experiment with it, we can observe it, we can recreate it. That's what science, the real science is, you know, it's recreatable. And sometimes people try to take God and make him fit inside that little science box. It doesn't fit, does it? You know, no matter how you try, that's not going to fit inside the little mindset of what we think science and all these modern technologies and everything is. But, you know, it doesn't work that way. But you know what? It's so amazing that science and all the amazing creation that God did fits the other way around in God's presence. You know? And when you see God, we have that order. They got the order. Things fit together and work together. And that's what God is like. He is a God of order. And, you know, whenever we do dishes at home and we have, you know, the green beans in here, or potato salad, the big yellow bowl for summertime. We all do that, right? Red with oyster jello. Green with salad. That's how it was. These are usually peas in our household. So we have peas left over in the fridge, and then you take them out, and I wash the dishes, and I put them all in the cupboard and go, there's order, they all fit, they're all back. I'm so happy when all my bowls are back in order, you know. It's like. So, but God delights in order, and you know how big the sun really is. Think about how big the earth is. Earth's pretty big. It takes us, it's 24,000 miles, I think, circumference. Yeah, I don't know how big to go around. But how many earths do you think fit in the sun? Take a guess. More than 10. More than 100 earths. A lot. I won't keep you guessing because we'll be here all day. I have to be somewhere at 10, okay? So 1.3 million earths fit inside the sun. If the sun was hollow, you could put 1,300,000 earths in there. That is just so astronomical. We can't even imagine how big that is, you know? It's like thinking about the national debt. What is trillions of dollars? I don't know. It's just too big, you know? I'm trying to balance my bank account, you know? That's more like the level I think at. But I say that because we need to recognize how big God is and how orderly he is when he does things. And not only is he big and amazing and powerful to hold everything together. Like, scientists don't know what really holds the earth together, or they say gravity. Well, where does gravity come from? God. He made it. What holds the sun together? Because it's just a big gas ball. It's like, I was doing some research on it. It's like, you know, 90%, 95% hydrogen, and then there's some helium and some oxygen, but it's just this big gas ball. They don't know what's in the middle. They don't know what holds. Why would this ball of gas stay together in a round shape? Because God holds things together. You know, the earth is in his hands. It says the oceans are in it. He measures them in the palm of his hands. You know, I can't see across the ocean. I've flown across it a few times in my life and been around the earth a couple times. But that's a lot of ocean to hold. So we can know that God is big and amazing, and there's power and security in knowing how great and how big he is. Because why does he think about us? You go back down, the sun is 1 million Earths, down to this Earth, which is pretty big, down to the planet, USA, Illinois, Tisco, I'll say, Bureau Junction, to us here in this church. Why does he see these little specks of dust on this Earth? You know, why does he care? It's because he's so loving and so awesome and so wanting a relationship with each one of us. And, you know, let me say a word that you probably never say in your lifetime, or I haven't said very often. Tetragrammaton. Ever heard that name before, or that word? That's the four-letter word in Hebrew language that says who God is, you know. Because you have to remember, here on Earth, we are limited how we see things, our space around us. And, you know, back in the day, and even today, many people have their God. They make God up in their own image. They have a name for him, all kinds of stuff. What is God's name? Is it God? That's kind of who he is, but it's not really his name, is it? And I don't go around saying Jesus. Is his name Jesus? That's his manifest son on earth. Holy Spirit's kind of like the spirit, so we can't quite grab him and say whatever. We can see him sometimes moving in us and in different circumstances. But God has a name. Anyone remember what it is? No, that's just the word that describes what it is. Yahweh. Yahweh is his name. Now, I'm not starting a new denomination. We are the First Church of Yahweh. This is what we do. We only say this name because that's who he is, you know. So we have enough denominations. But his name is Yahweh. That's actually like breath. When you say, go ahead and just say that name, Yahweh. Say with lots of air, Yahweh. It's like breath. And that blows me away, because when he made man, what did he do? Got together a bunch of dirt. Actually, I shouldn't say dirt, because dirt we wash off our hands before we have dinner. He got soil, which is full of life and energy and nutrients. I learned that from Calzer, okay? So you have to soil. He took the soil, and he breathed into us. So not only he just, okay, I put life in them, I put breath in them. Breath. He put himself into us. He is the breath of God. Yahweh loves us, and Yahweh is inside of us. And Yahweh is longing for a relationship with each one of us. And we know that as we look through history, what he did for us. How, you know, we fell. He gave us free will. Otherwise, we're going to be little robots. I will worship you. And he didn't want that. He wanted us to have a relationship with him. He walked in the cool of the garden. I love gardening. Anybody else garden here? I know you do, because you're married to me. If not, you don't like gardening, you love flowers and creation and just God's beauty. You see a sunset, you see all kinds of pretty things that God made for us to enjoy. God made us to enjoy him. He didn't make himself. He always was and is and will be. But he was so loving and wanting to expand his loving relationship. Like, he could have been totally happy in heaven with His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they're in perfect unity. They love each other. They're doing things together. They're creating things and plans and stuff. It's all good, everything he made. But he so wanted to have a relationship with each one of us. He said, let's make people. And then he said, you know what's going to happen if we make them? We don't want them to be puppets. We're going to give them free will so they joyfully worship us and really with us, you know. And before the fall, Adam and Eve walked in the garden in the cool of the evening with the Lord, Lord Almighty, with Yahweh. And that just so speaks to me of closeness, almost like a father and son walking on the beach, or a husband and a wife walking together in the park, enjoying gardens. And it's just that intimacy that God wants us to walk with him. And we know we fell. We all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. And that brought such separation in our life when that happened, you know. But God had a plan from the very beginning of time to restore that and to bring back us into his kingdom and his presence. And we know the story of Jesus. He sent his son to die for us, who shed his blood for us. I mean, wow, for me. I'm a filthy sinner. I've done lots of terrible things in my life. I didn't grow up in a church or know him. And I needed a savior. I needed someone who can take away all the garbage in my life, because I tried so many ways to fill the void in my life. And God is the only one who can fill that hole that he made in each one of us. And that's because he gave the breath of himself into us. We're made to be with him. We're made to fellowship with him. And so today in present age, sometimes I get busy, and you know, I may have my quiet time in my morning. I've done my duty. I read a psalm a day. Keeps the devil away, you know. And then sometimes I lay down in bed and go, oh, the day's over. Where did it go, you know? Oh, hi, God. I forgot about you. Yeah, you love me. I love you too. But I didn't have that fellowship with him throughout the day. And that's what God really longs for. And, you know, you can always be condemned and say, oh, I didn't spend enough time in the Word, or oh, I didn't pray enough, because how much is enough, you know? But God wants us to abide in him. And that's like these bowls being all set inside themselves. And we're in Christ. Recognize his presence. That's what we need to do. So I talk about he's the breath of life. His name's Yahweh. I love that. I never say his name very often, you know. We're going to do a little experiment in a minute. But let's look at Psalm 68, verse 4. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Psalm 68. And I have all these marks in my Bible so I can find them quickly. And then I have so many, I don't know which one's which. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 4 says, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. His name is Yahweh, and rejoice before him. I love that name. It's a special name. It's a holy name. It's an awesome name. You know, when you don't know somebody, they're just distant and far away. You know, like, I'm not sure everybody's name here, but get to know your names. When you know a name, it puts a face on it. It puts meaning into it. There's relationship when we know names, and it's good to know his name. And I'm not saying I have to call him Yahweh all the time, and like I said, it's not the first church of Yahweh. Psalm 50, verse 1. I just read this the other day. It blew me away. 1-6. Yahweh, the God of gods, speaks. He summons the earth from the east to the west, from Zion, the perfection of beauty. God appears in radiance. Our God is coming. He will not be silent. Devouring fire precedes him, and a storm rages around him. On high, he summons heaven and earth in order to judge his people. Gather my faithful ones to me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God is a judge. And I love that creation shows who he is. It blows me away who he is. It blows me away his presence. It blows me away how big he is, because he is so big, and he cares for me, this little speck of dust here on earth. And you know, there's even lots of people on Earth. Billion plus right now. Wow, I can't fathom those numbers. It's just so grand and so big. And yet he knows each one of us intimately. He knows how many hairs have fallen out of my head. I still have hair. My dad was bald at 26. When I turned 26, I still had a full head of hair. I said, thank you, Jesus. I have hair. He knows intimately everything about us. And as big and grand as the earth and the stars and the universe is, did you know he calls every star out by name? I mean, I can't even count how many there really is out there. Scientists try, but there's always this expanse of creation and so many billions and billions of stars. He hangs them in place, it says in the scriptures and the Psalms. He calls them out into place, and he calls them by name. Not only does he know our name, but he knows the name of every star out there. That blows me away too, you know, and all the languages of the earth. He knows them all. He created them, you know, and nothing's too big or out of control that God's not aware of, because he is so big and so grand and so amazing. So I hope that you, just through these little analogies of seeing the sun, you can see, seeing how things have order and fit together, that you can see God is really, really big, isn't he? And just let that sink in, how amazingly big he is. It's like, wow. And yet he cares for us and loves us so much. He's so powerful. What's a real powerful thing, you think? Like a tornado is really powerful. Volcanoes. We lived in Hawaii. Volcanoes go off. We lived in Myrtle Beach. Hurricanes come. So big. So many big things. So many powerful things that can do such damage, you know. It could be peaceful one night. A storm comes. A tornado blows through in a town and people's lives. And it can be devastated just by the power of wind, you know. And that's like, that's such a powerful thing. Yeah, God is bigger and grander than all those powerful things we see in creation, the stuff that happens around the earth. A nuclear bomb or the atomic bomb back in the day when they ended the war, you know. That was such a devastation, such a huge, powerful thing. It's not like a little BB gun. Pa-ching. It's a huge, huge, powerful thing. Energy is so powerful. Yet God is bigger than that and more powerful than that and so much bigger and grander and powerful. But it's nice to know he's like that. Hopefully he's not far away in a distant galaxy watering his garden over there. No, he so loves us and so intimately cares for each one of us. So intimately wants a relationship with us. We need to know that he's good. I'm not going to go, that's a whole sermon in itself, the goodness of God, you know. And because when you know he's good, you can trust him, can't you? You see that, you know, he's not going to step on you, make you squirm. There's a kid's song about a worm, and step on me, Jesus, make me squirm, you know. He's not like that, trying to make us squirm. He's not a mean God. Even though you may question, like, well, how can God be good if bad things happen to good people? Why does that happen, you know? And that's another sermon on itself, too. But it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. He provides food for the eater, bread for Christians and non-Christians, for everybody on earth. Some people eat rice. He provides food for us. Creation says he's there. We can see him through creation. Now, unfortunately, many people have hardened their hearts. We like sin. We like the flavor of sin. It seems exciting. It seems like, wow, this is really awesome. I love sin. Ah, chocolate cake. I could eat all the chocolate cake in the world. Would that be good for me? No. I'm diabetic. I can't have a donut anymore. So, but all those things that appeal to people that seem good. And there's another character, too, involved in the whole story that draws people away from the goodness of God. Who's that? It's the devil, you know. The devil has an end in his life. He is an eternal being, but he's going to be not reigning on earth forever. You know, God says he's coming back. He'll be put in locked up for 1,000 years. Then he'll be released for, I don't know how long, a short time, and then there's judgment. Then he's in hell for all eternity. All eternity. So he doesn't have a choice. He can't repent and say, oh, God, I'm sorry. Please let me live in your kingdom forever. He doesn't have that option. Angels don't have that option. But we do, as people. We have the option to come to him and say, yes, I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to live with you. And that's a privilege. And it's even a calling for each one of us to know who we are in Christ. Because there is a world outside those doors that many people, unfortunately, many people don't know him. They've hardened their hearts to sin, to God, through sin, and they've hardened their hearts to God. The devil's deceived many of them. He's brought up false religions to try to distract people. And he's not doing it. Yeah, he does hate us and not like us. But he didn't do it to get even with us. He did it to hurt God's feelings. He did it to hurt God. Because who does God love so much? Us, people. You know, and if the devil can distract us, or deceive us, or take us away from eternity with Jesus, he'll try that because he wants to get even and say, ha ha, God, I took all these people with me. And that's actually sad, a sad, sad day. Hell is a very sad reality. And let's think about that for a minute, too, because that's something that's coming. We know it's coming at some point, whether we physically die on earth from old age or sickness or whatever, or he comes back again and it's over, there's an ending coming. I'm not talking gloom and doom here, but hell is a pretty scary place. It's the place where the presence of God is not at. So even if you don't know God right now in the world, or I'm sure we all know him and love him, but if you don't know him, you still are in his presence here on earth. You still see his goodness. You still see his beauty and his creation. And we can, and I believe every child has the ability, especially children, before we get tainted, to see God, to know he's real. And so with eternity is also a very long time, isn't it? Like we think, try and get your license at DMV. That's a very long time. It's like, you know, you go in, you're all excited. There's like four people, and you go get your number, and then, you know, you look at your number, and it says like 426, and then they go 3. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like forever, eternity here in this office sometimes. And waiting is a long time. But eternity is a long time. So with that in mind, eternity was created so that we can fellowship with him forever. It's going to be such a sweet, awesome time of fellowship forever, you know. There's going to be so much. Are we going to be bored in heaven playing harps of the angels? Drung, 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 drung. Maybe you can play the organ, but I can't play an organ. So I can't play a harp either. But no, it's not going to be like that. Yeah, we will be worshiping him, but it's not just going to be sitting there worshiping him for 10,000 years, you know. That's an unreality statement, because we will, but we won't. We're going to be enjoying fellowship with him. We're going to be enjoying focusing on him. We're going to be worshiping and knowing him and loving him and him loving us, him blessing us. It's a relationship. So I want to transition just a little bit. If this God is so amazing, which he is, so big, that he made the sun, this humongous ball of fire in the sky, put it in the right place, holds it together. If he's so powerful, more powerful than the sun or than a nuclear bomb or anything we can imagine that's powerful, which he is. If he's so loving that he loves the person who's a drunkard, or the person who's a transvestite, or the person who is lost and deceived, he loves them so much that he still made a way for them to come to know him, you know? And then we all have a choice. Are we going to turn to him, or are we going to go our way? Everybody has that choice. You know, you think about how there's so many things where sometimes the world seems so confusing. It's like now there's, what gender am I? Am I a man or a woman? Oh, am I a cow or a unicorn? I don't know. You know, it's like people get so deceived, but yet there's such order in the way God made things. There's always answers in his word. He created us male and female. He created us man and woman to be married, to create a family, to have beautiful children. I love my beautiful son and my daughter. He created us to have a community, to have fellowship with one another even. Like we loved when we came the other day to the Thanksgiving Fall Festival thing, just the community that we saw that you guys have. It's a blessing to reach this community. And you know, the people in the world don't have that. They try to find it. They go to a bar and hang out, and yeah, that's their church sometimes, you know, where they get their emotional needs met, or they drink and not just enjoy the drinking stuff, but they want to forget about stuff because life's too hard. I want to phase out, you know. I can't cope with things, you know. But anyways, that's what the world does. They try to copy what God has. The devil always tries to copy what God made, you know. He's not omnipotent, all-powerful. The devil doesn't create anything. He can't make an eyeball appear in my hand. But God could if he wanted to. He's powerful enough to do that. God is amazing, and I love that. And I know his name, and he's the breath of God, and he's closer to me than my breath. Take a deep breath. That's life that he put into us. That's his presence. Because we are in him. We are surrounded. We are in Christ. He's in us. And he wants to talk to us. So there's, how many voices can we hear? Sometimes there's lots of voices. But there's myself, Jeff, thinking, think, my logical brain ticking off. There's the enemy, the devil, can speak to people, can manifest and say, hey, go kill that lady, go do this. He does influence people. He does speak to people. You know, sometimes people do terrible things and they've listened to voices in their head, you know. I hear voices in my head. That could be a devil or spirit, demon spirits. There's only one devil, lots of spirits. Or we hear another voice. Who's that? Oh, I can hear my wife. Take out the garbage. No. Which I have to do when I get home. But or we hear the voice of the Lord. And that can be a scary thing too. Do I hear God? You know, I read my Bible. He does speak to me through the word. He would never speak to us and say, go and kill somebody or go and divorce your wife and go be with this younger woman over here. He'll never say that because that's out of character to the Word of God. He always speaks in alignment with the Word of God. And he gave us standards to live by, and it's here in this amazing book or in this amazing microchip. And he always speaks through his Word. But he speaks through other ways, doesn't he? I've never heard his audible voice say, Jeff, go to Africa. I never heard... seen a hand manifest and write on the wall. We've read that in the Bible where he wrote, a hand came and wrote on the wall. He gave, speaks through dreams and visions, doesn't he? People have often had dreams, and God speaks and gives revelation, whether it's in the Old Testament or today in my bedroom or in the Muslim world. People get dreams, and people see Jesus. He manifests. He's active. He's alive. He's exciting, and he's wanting that relationship with us. So the voices we hear can be ourself, or the devil, or someone else, or, you know, sometimes the busyness of the world and the noise of the traffic and all. We don't really have traffic here, but in places I've lived, there's traffic and gunshots and noise and crowds and weekends. And there can be a noisy place on earth sometimes. We lived in Myrtle Beach, and they have the two festivals every year, the Biker Days. And I'll tell you, on Biker Days, which goes like for a weekend, there's like, I don't know, 10,000, many, many bikers all night long. It's so hard to try to sleep and to try to, you wake up like, I'm exhausted, you know, because there's so much noise. The world can be a noisy place, and we don't hear things when it's noisy, or it's harder to hear things. It's harder to be select and focused down on the voice of Jesus. So how does God speak? I want to look at 1 Kings 19. So Elijah was on a journey, and there's some bad stuff happening around him. 19, verse 11 to 13. Then he said, go out and stand on a mountain in the Lord's presence. This was an angel speaking to him, giving him direction, and it wasn't him speaking or someone else. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountain and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. Think about that tornado or hurricane. The Lord blowing past us. Make sound effects. You know, the big storm blowing past us because he's amazingly big and powerful. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Anybody been in an earthquake? I'm from California. One day, I'm in bed. It's Saturday. My bed is shaking. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, Mom, it's Saturday. I don't have to go to school. You know, she's there shaking my bed to wake me up to go to school. It was Saturday. It was an earthquake. You know, they used to always teach us at school when there's an earthquake. You go under the desk. Protect yourself, I guess, from the roof of the school falling on you. So, you know, we all may have experienced the power of an earthquake. The whole earth shakes. Cities crumble, you know, from earthquakes, from that power. After earthquake, there was fire. You know, fire. I don't need to explain that. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. So God doesn't always speak in his loud, I am God, worship me. He's not like this thundering voice. He's not like an earthquake where the whole earth shakes and we're all like, oh my gosh, what's going on? He usually speaks in the whisper, in a still, quiet voice, a peaceful voice. Here's our experiment. Now let's close our eyes. Just quiet your heart before him. Let's just all say his name, Yahweh. Yahweh. We love you, Yahweh. We thank you that we know you. Breath of God. Let's tell him I love you. Yahweh, I love you. Did he answer you? Did he say something? He said to me, I love you too. We have the ability to hear God and he hears us. One time when I was in India, well, many times when I was in India, I lived there for 5 years. There's this one village we're driving by on a train or a bus or something. Bang, 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 bang. All these firecrackers going off. It was noisy. It was like World War III. And we're like, what's this for? Is there some celebration? Because, you know, they have a billion gods and they worship them every day and there's different stuff happening all the time. There's always some holiday. Everything's always closed because of this holiday or that holiday. And they said, no, that's the firecracker god. We're like, what? The firecracker god. Yeah, their god is deaf. So they light firecrackers to wake him up so they can pray so he hears them. Ping, 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 ping. Hey, God, wake up! Really? I have to light firecrackers and make all this noise? On New Year's Eve, bang the pot. We always did that at the door of our house with a pot and pan. Bang, 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 bang. When we were little. And I don't have to wake up God. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's close to us as breath. He's a still, quiet voice that answers us. another thing. I was in India again, and we had our little drama group, and we sang, and a bunch of white people come, and there's an instant crowd, rent-a-crowd, and there was different nationalities on our team, too, not just Westerners. But and we're worshiping God, and then we preach the gospel, or we share testimonies with who God is, what he's done in our life, you know. And no one was interested. It's like, nothing, what's going on? It's like there's just this deafness over them, this hardness, you know. And we thought, what, how can we break through? God, help, what do we do? How do you want to reach these people? You know, because they probably never had Jesus come and manifest himself in that village before. They probably never heard who Jesus is yet. I've had people in China say, is he an American? Who's Jesus? I don't know. People haven't heard the name of Jesus sometimes. And so we're there, we pray together, God, what do we do? What do we say to these people? How do we break through in this village? And the Lord says, we'll pray for the sick. So, okay. So we line up again, and we call them forward and say, hey, we believe that our God heals. He's the living God, and he wants to heal you right now. Who's sick? Who needs healing? And they're all laughing and mocking, and there's this real spirit of mockery going on. And finally, this old man comes forward. And he has like a hard skin on his knee, and he's walking like this. And he walks up to me, and I'm thinking like, ooh, headaches. I can pray for headaches. I have faith for that. Ooh, stomach aches. You know, those are things you can't see. I believe you can heal God through me to do that. And he comes up with this leg that doesn't work. I'm like, oh, God, please work. I'm scared. What happens if you don't show up, you know? And I'll look like an idiot. Oh, no, you know? But God is not concerned with our reputation. But so this man, so I put my hands on his knee and pray for him. And instantly, his leg is healed. He's bending his knee. He's jumping up and down, laughing and bouncing, just almost like in the book of Acts when the one guy gets silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. And the guy gets pulled up, and he's instantly healed. You know, and he's dancing and leaping and praising God. And he was the first one to give his heart to Jesus, that old man who was probably older than all of us in this room. He was really old. And then the elders in the town are saying, how dare you become a Christian? We have worshipped our gods for years, and you turn your back on them. And here's what he said to them. For years, I've prayed to my God, and he never answered me once. These Christians pray once to their God, and he answers them. I want to know that God. God is so amazing and so awesome. He wants to reveal his character to the lost and hurting world. So I want to challenge you today, and even this week. I kind of said at the beginning that we can call this open our eyes, Lord. I want to open our eyes that we see how big he is. And even if there is a snowstorm or a blizzard, see how big he is in that storm in your life, you know. If there's I'm sure this winter there'll be some disasters. I mean, there's stuff happening all over the world, isn't there? There's fires in California and power going out and turned off and all this stuff. And there's powerful things out there. When you see something like that, just think, God, open my eyes. Show me that you are bigger and more powerful than this. And even though I may not have an answer for all these questions I have or others have, you are bigger than this. Anything we can go through. And know that he's more loving than what we can even imagine. That this big and amazing and powerful God who calls the stars out by name loves me and intimately wants to know me and you. Intimately. And this week my challenge is for you to see how big and grand he is, but also to hear that whisper. Call out his name. Try it in your quiet time. You know, we can go through, and like I said, a verse a day keeps the devil away or whatever. But when you're reading the Word of God, ask him to speak to you through the Word, but also through his Holy Spirit. And just say his name. Good morning, Yahweh. I love you. I find whenever I say that, he always says, I love you too. He's so cool. But So that's my challenge for the day. Bigness, greatness, and a still quiet voice that he intimately wants to know us and for us to feel his presence. And yeah, we don't live by feelings, because I could feel like, I want a Big Mac today, I'm hungry, or I can feel like, I want to go on the beach, or I can feel like, I'm too tired, I don't want to read the Word of God today. Ugh. I had a late night. The cat was up all night bouncing in my bed. So, you know, all those cat owners know what I mean. And still come before him in that quietness and say, good morning, Yahweh. I love you. I commit this day in your hands. And, you know, the amazing thing is we can do that any time in the day when we're driving to work, we're going to the grocery store, or dropping the grandkids off or the kids at school or whatever. Or when you're cleaning a house, all the stuff we have to do in life, he's there with us. It's not just when we get to heaven, when we get to, oh, then we know him, we'll be with, we'll be like him, we'll know him. But it's now we can enjoy that presence of God and his spirit in us, his breath in us. Interesting word, even the word for the Holy Spirit is pneuma, which is like another word for breath. God is so into breath and life. Anyways, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. Father God, I thank you. Yahweh, I thank you. How big you are, that you can hold the universe together. And as big as the universe is and all the details that it works together, it's how microcosm I am and my cells and how you hold everything together. You're just amazing. You are powerful. More powerful than anything I've ever experienced on earth. And you are so loving, so much that even when I turned my back or when I didn't know you, you still died on the cross for me and reached out to me. You still reach out to those who are deceived by the devil and confused and hurt and lost. And separated. They don't know where they came from, where they're going, or what their purpose in life is, but you provide all those answers for us. We know as believers who we are in you, where we came from in you, where we're going in you. You have plans and purposes for us. I have a purpose for my life in you. The thing is, you intimately meet every need we have and need as people. And I thank you for your still, quiet breath. Still, quiet voice whispering to me, Jeff, I love you. Come spend time with me. Let's walk in the garden together. Look at these beautiful flowers I made. It's for you to enjoy. I pray in Jesus' name that each one of us would experience you in a deeper and a greater level this week. Open our eyes to see you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.